Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Joining us now to talk some Grizzlies, talk some NBA, Rob Fisher from the Grizzlies Television Network. He joins us now. Rob, thanks so much for joining us. The NBA playoffs have been a lot of fun. Which series has entertained you the most through round one?
Oh, I guess I would say Detroit Orlando has been entertaining.
Yeah, it's been good.
We've had some close games. We've had we got the upset brewing with the number 8 seed up 3-1 on the number 1 seed. I think that one's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to watch Desmond Bane come back the last couple of games and play the way that he has. I don't know. I mean, the Knicks-Hawks series is close, but it doesn't seem like it's been that entertaining with those two teams. And Boston and Philadelphia, it's also 3-2, but I don't think that's been entertaining as well. I don't think Boston's a fun team to watch. Mm.
The struggles that J.B. Bickerstaff and the Pistons are having, I know it's one series, young team, but, Rob, isn't this what even those of us that love J.B. Bickerstaff, you're a little scared of him in the playoffs?
Well, Cleveland was.
That's right.
You know, and they made the move, whether you agreed with it or not, and I was one that did not, but I think it's a lot more has to do with what you were just saying. I mean, how we feel about JB. You know, big fans of JB.
60-win team.
And you know, they let him go, and now Detroit, and it's been weird to watch them and not be able to kind of put your finger on why, because Orlando doesn't play great basketball. You know, they play kind of stupid basketball at times where it's Paolo Banchero and everybody else, and just kind of lean on him. And, you know, they make mistakes. They turn the ball over, but they're somehow winning the series 3-1. You know, we've talked about it. I think that Orlando is a better team than their seed indicates, but they ended up being the seed they are because of the dysfunction among that team. And they seem to, at least for now, have put that stuff aside and are playing better basketball. But yeah, what's the problem with Detroit? Well, Jalen Duren's been a problem. He hasn't been as dominant as he was in the regular season, hasn't been in the playoffs, not even close to what he was in the regular season. Kate Cunningham's turning the ball over like a machine, which has been awful to watch. They're not defending as well as they did. I think that the difference in playoff basketball, you know, Orlando's playing more physical. Well, Detroit's supposed to be the physical team. Detroit's been the team that's been physical all year, but they've been physical when things are called. Now when things aren't called, you know, they're getting hit first, and it's like they're not able to hit back. I find it interesting tonight, you know, being down 3-1 and backs against the wall. Detroit is a double-digit favorite.
It's crazy. I was looking at that just a second ago.
Double-digit favorite for a team insane. That's down 3-1 and has been just flat-out beaten the series.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for entertainment purposes only, do you think they cover that tonight?
Well, I can't bet on basketball.
I know you can't.
But that's hard. It's hard to think they would with the way that Orlando is playing. I mean, even if Detroit is to come back and win, the thing is for Detroit tonight, they have to be a different team than they've been these first four games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to change.
Yeah.
And a lot has to change. I don't know if they're capable of making that many changes and the team changing that drastically. And just from game 4 to game 5.
Hard to. It really is. Oklahoma City easily 4-0 over Phoenix like they did to the Grizzlies last year. We're just going to be in a run of years. If they're the one seed, the 8 has no shot, do they?
Well, they're really good. And they're doing it without Jalen Williams. And, you know, what we've seen with Oklahoma City, and we saw it throughout this year, whether it was Jalen Williams being out with injury or the times that SGA was out with injury, they are so deep that they can still win. They're deep in their backcourt depth. They're deep with their defense. They're deep in their frontcourt depth. I mean, they're deep everywhere. And, yeah, they're a problem. I mean, they're going to be a problem until they have salary issues and guys have to go.
That could be a while.
So, you know, they keep this group around for a while. Yeah, it's going to be tough to knock them off, especially in that first round. And, you know, what, 12-0 now in the last 3 years in the first round for Oklahoma City? I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. And, you know, now it's a matter of moving on and what's going to happen in the next round with Oklahoma City. But I think things obviously get a little tougher. They did last year for OKC. It wasn't a walk in the park for them to get the championship last year. They had some long series after that first round series. So we'll see if that's the case again this year.
How much coaching does he have to do in Oklahoma City?
Well, I think where he has to get credit is how this team plays with a defensive intensity every night. And that even in the regular season. I mean, they play regular season games to crush you. They play regular season games with an intensity defensively that is just hard. I mean, they just come after you from all over the floor. And I think a coach has to get credit for that because, you know, it's easy to not go out there and give it everything defensively on a Tuesday night in February. I mean, you know, in game 60, it's easy not to have that sort of intensity, but they bring it every single night. And I think the coach has to get a little credit for that. So I'd give them credit for the way the team plays and the way that they play consistently on a nightly basis with, you know, a desperation sort of feeling, and they outwork you, you know. We always talk about it with Oklahoma City. The only chance you have is if you work harder than them. But they do a great job of not allowing that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Who's the next coach that's left in these playoffs that has that defensive prowess and intensity night in, night out?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what. A guy that you got to give some credit to right now is Darko Rajakovic.
Uh-huh.
And the Toronto Raptors. I mean, they've been showing it. I think J.J. Redick deserves a little credit for his team rallying together with the guys that have been injured and playing the way that they're playing. You know, Atlanta. You want to say Quinn Snyder, but I think that's been kind of hit or miss in this postseason and in these first four games or five games of that series of whether or not they show that defensive identity that they had during the regular season. So. I don't know if I give Quinn Snyder all that credit in the world, but Minnesota, Chris Finch. Chris Finch is probably one that Minnesota plays with that sort of intensity night in.
Yeah, no, I think he absolutely does. And you mentioned Toronto. They're in action tonight on the road in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. The series tied 2-2. What do you think ultimately happens over these next couple of games? Who do you think wins the series?
Well, this series was made for NBA TV, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Just ugly defensive ability, just under 100 points. I don't know. I would think that Cleveland rebounds tonight and they get a win and they go up 3-2. I would think my guess would be the home team's going to win the rest of the three games and Cleveland's going to win the series eventually. But I don't know. I don't know how much I trust Cleveland right now. I don't know, especially with the fact that you have James Harden on that team. You can't ignore James Harden and his ability in the postseason. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell's not playing well. Harden's been okay. You know, so you're not getting the dominating performances from the dominating players that Cleveland has on their roster right now. So if Toronto, you're getting great team play. Everyone's contributing. And Colin Murray-Boyles has been unbelievable and what he's been able to do in the series that he's having so far. So I think that Toronto, could they steal one tonight in Cleveland? Sure. But I don't expect it to happen. I think I would expect Cleveland to get the win tonight, and then Toronto at home in the game six with that place as raucous as that can be at that arena. And The way that they are playing as a team, to come back and then win game six, send it to a game seven, and then anything can happen in a game seven. But I think this one goes the distance, and I wouldn't count Toronto out, but I'd lean towards Cleveland at this point.
The Knicks had to have that last night, and they had to have it with that easy style. They got it in.
Yes, they needed it, and they needed it like that, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing that 2 games ago you're already hearing about Mike Brown maybe being on the hot seat. And it's like, well, what do you want? I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Carl Anthony Towns talk about he's got to dominate, and he does need to dominate. He needs to be the guy that's, carrying the load. Jalen Brunson needs to be able to find Carl Anthony Towns and make Towns the guy, because that's where they have an advantage in this series. And they did that last night. So the Knicks needed it. They got it. And, you know, I said before the series, I think it was when I was on with Greg and Eli, I said, watch out for the Knicks in this first series against Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta's giving them problems, but the Knicks got it done, and they got it done in a big way yesterday. Now the pressure's on Atlanta. Can Atlanta handle that pressure, and can they get a win to force the game seven? Again, like the Cleveland-Toronto series, I'd expect New York to win this game, and it wouldn't surprise me if it goes seven.
Mm-hmm. The last game tonight, Rockets and Lakers, what have you made of this series? The Lakers looking to wrap this one up. They're a 4.5-point favorite at home tonight. Kevin Durant been out with the injury. That certainly made an impact on the Rockets, but what do you make of what you've seen from the Lakers without Luka Doncic on the floor?
It's been great. The Lakers favored tonight for the first time in the series.
That's crazy.
This is the first time that they've actually been the favorite, and which is a little surprising. But Houston was favored the first 2 games in Los Angeles. Houston was favored both games at home. But now the Lakers are favored here in game number 5. I've been surprised, even without Kevin Durant, I've been surprised at the lack of defense played by Houston. That's their calling card, especially without having a point guard. And without having Kevin Durant and not being a 3-point team, well, that's a lot you're missing right there. So, you know, you're a mid-range team, you're an in-the-paint team, and they haven't dominated there, and they're not dominating defensively. That's been the surprise for me, is that this is a team that was so good defensively throughout the season. They got a handful of guys who are great defensive players, and they're just not showing it here in this postseason. Making Luke Kennard look, you know, like Steph Curry, and making Marcus Smart look like Steph Curry, for crying out loud. So I've been surprised at Houston's inability to defend the way that they show that they can throughout an entire season. I would be surprised if this series doesn't end tonight, because I just don't think they have. I don't think they have that extra oomph. To make it happen. They just haven't shown it in the series at all.
And Luke Kennard catching and shooting, not holding the ball and passing or deferring or being hesitant about it. I mean, we had very few Luke Kennard games.
No, you're right. And that's, I mean, it's funny because you heard it when he was in Atlanta from Quinn Snyder. You've heard it from J.J. Redick now in Los Angeles, that they continue to tell Luke, when you get it, let it go. Because Luke's biggest fault is getting in situations where he doesn't let it go and doesn't think he has the shot, but he does. And he's the best shooter on the floor. So he's got to take him, and he's taking him now, and he's making him, and he's been fantastic. So yeah, we didn't see it enough. But I don't think anywhere Luke's been, you've seen it enough. And that's probably why he's been around the league a little bit, is because you didn't see it enough. And, you know, he's not a great defender either, but I watching that series, I think his effort defensively has been very good, and his offensively, just letting the shots fly, has been great. It was incredible in game, I guess it was game 3, the one that the Rockets blew with the 2 turnovers in the last couple of seconds.
Late.
Was that game? That was game 3?
Friday night.
That was the one instance where I thought Luke passed up a shot, but he passed it up to give it to LeBron, who made the 3 to send it to overtime.
Yeah, and the guy did fly.
I'll let him go on that one.
Yeah, I would let him go on that. Yeah, if you pass it to LeBron James, you get a pass. Rob Fisher with us. Rob, in Cam Spencer, don't the Grizzlies want him to be that? Catch it, shoot it. Don't try to put it on the floor, because I think sometimes he gets a little stuck.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, you know, Cam, early in the season last year, he was doing that. When he got the ball, he let it fly. And, you know, we were all enamored with what Cam Spencer was doing. And he got off to such a great start. I think what hurt Cam was then when he had to start, got forced into playing point guard. Because then he became a facilitator primarily.
And that used to hurt Kennard, too.
Right. You're right. And when you're a facilitator primarily, and I think Cam is one of those guys, he's like Marc Gasol in that it's always about making the right play. Yeah. Always about making the right play. And making the right play when you're a facilitator most of the time is giving the ball up. And it also took away his ability to move off the ball and get in open spots so he could get those shots. And then all of a sudden when he was taken and moved off the ball, I think he was kind of stuck in a place of, am I a facilitator? Am I a shooter? What am I? And I think it kind of screwed Cam up throughout the year last year as well. So playing out of position, I think, hurt him. But, yeah, you want him to be that guy, to be like the Luke Kennard. I don't like games where Cam scores 3 points. I don't like games where Cam only shoots 3 three-pointers. I want games where Cam's going to shoot 5 or 6 three-pointers, and I want Cam to score me 13 points. I want him to be a scorer. It's great, and I said this about Luke Kennard when he was with the Grizzlies. Having those games where you have 10 assists, 9 assists, 11 assists, those are great. Great for you. But I don't care about that. I want to see you score points. I want you to be a scorer because that's what you can do when you're shooting the building.
How many shots you think Cam Spencer's gotten up today?
Probably at least 150.
At least. If he's anywhere on earth, he has.
Yep.
Yeah. If he's got a hoop near him, he's put him up today. We had a trip to Indianapolis late in the season playing the Pacers. And we arrived in town at, and there were tournaments going on, like women, I think high school girls tournament going on at the arena. And, you know, it was a big weekend. The combine was going on and everything. So it was a big weekend in Indianapolis. And we check into the hotel at about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we went out to dinner. So as we're leaving for dinner, out of the hotel comes Cam Spencer with a bag of baskets. And we're like, where are you going? He's like, going to get some shots up. He got in a cab and to find a gym somewhere so he could go get some shots.
Holy cow. Wow. That is remarkable. But
did you go to the opposite place or did y'all go to St. Elmo's that night?
We went to the opposite place.
Right next door. You say it's better.
Izzy's there. Yeah. It was good. It's real good. There's a more of a menu. The steaks are the same. The shrimp cocktail's the same. And there's more of a menu where it's got your high end stuff, but it also has like some low end sandwiches as well that you can get. So I like it. It's really good. Mm. Harry and Izzy's, I think. Is that what it's called?
Interesting. I haven't been, but you say
I think that's what it's called.
You say the tourists go to St. Elmo's.
Mm. I like that. Rob.
Yes.
Rob,
and all the combine people were there, so we couldn't get a seat.
The tourists.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. All the tourists that were in town. Rob, what do you make of this new lottery idea that Adam Silver is pushing for the NBA?
Bryant can't stand it.
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it either. I just.
I didn't mind.
I don't like confusion. I don't like the idea that they better put out a sheet telling me who's eligible for what. Every year.
Yeah.
It was very Manfredian, wasn't it?
It's complicated. Ooh,
yes. I mean, the whole, you can't have, 3 years in a row, you can't be top five or something like that. I mean, there are a lot of stipulations that you're going to have a sheet to
figure
out who's eligible where and who's getting what odds and what we're supposed to, okay, or if we're in the seventh or eighth spot, would it be better if we're in ninth or tenth because our lottery would be a lottery of chances or double from being instead of eight? And I mean, if I'm eight and I lose that first game and now all of a sudden I'm playing for the eighth seed, well, if I lose that game, now I'm nine and my lottery chances double, or I win that game and I got to play Oklahoma City. So what's the better route?
Well,
and I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll do away with tanking. I don't. I guess teams will try to stay out of the bottom three, I guess. That's what you're saying? The bottom three aren't as good of odds? So
there's always going to be a crack in the dam. Teams are going to find a way to manipulate it.
And I've said from the beginning, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I don't know. This one just seems a little confusing and a little too much thinking put into this one.
Yeah.
We started the show with this high hard one. I threw it at Bryant and at Landon. Rank of the better or worse ideas, these three ideas that are out there right now in sports. The redone lottery proposal by the NBA, 24-team college football playoff, and 76 teams in the NCAA basketball tournament.
I guess I like the football playoff expansion.
That's unanimous. That's four of us, and I'm very much for it.
It's more football. It's more, you know, I think that those first games will be entertaining, and the second round games will be entertaining, and, you know, maybe
you
the
mean
third
the zany
round won't
9
be
versus 24 game and the 10 know. Versus 23?
Yeah. I think that'll be. Now, the thing that I don't understand, I don't understand when you expand the tournament to 76 teams, yet you're going to have games to see who the 11 seed is. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're an 11 seed, shouldn't you be an 11 seed?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't you?
But you aren't now. You're going to Dayton now as an 11.
I understand, and I think that's stupid. I mean,
I do
me,
too.
Dayton should have been the 4-16 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be for the teams that are not in the tournament. And to get into the tournament, it should be the 4-16. But we're making it. I mean, if you're an 11 seed, you should be an 11 seed. You shouldn't have to play your way into the tournament. 11 seed's not that bad of a seed. I mean, it's not terrible.
No.
So I don't know. I think that's ridiculous too. But I'd go basketball second and the lottery third.
I think I had it the other way, but they were pretty close. Much on the same path. It was not a fun afternoon for me yesterday, Rob, when I learned about both the NCAA tournament and the lottery. I was pretty upset with both of those, but I don't know. hopefully we're wrong about it, and these people in charge know what they're doing. But Rob, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your week. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, fellas.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob, so much. Thank you.
Rob Fisher joining us to talk all things hoops and a lot to talk about with the NBA, with the playoffs, with the Grizzlies, with this new lottery format that pretty much everybody is expecting will go through and will start next season. But he mentioned it, those three games tonight, the Magic, Pistons, Detroit, right now a 10.5-point favorite at home despite being down 3-1. Raptors, Cavs, it's crazy. I could not believe it when I saw that. Cavaliers, a 9.5-point favorite at home with that series tied 2-2. And then the Lakers finally favored in a game, a 4.5-point favorite tonight against the Rockets. Those last two games going to be on ESPN, that first game starting at 6 o'clock on Prime Video. But let's go ahead and get to another break. And when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending, but before we talk about what's trending around the sports world, we got to give away some tickets. Zach Bryan is performing Saturday night in Starkville at Davis Wade Stadium. I know you've been hearing the ads for that concert over the last couple of weeks. A big-time show down there in Starkville. We have a pair of tickets to give away. We'll go first caller to the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 901-360-8255. Again, 901-360-8255. First caller, go and see Zach Bryan this weekend at Davis Wade Stadium. I wish I could could be going to see Zach Bryan this weekend. Thought about it, was trying to be able to go down there, but unfortunately have a conflict that night. But it's going to be a good show, so call in, and first caller, we'll get those tickets to the concert this weekend.
Be a lot of people at that.
Yeah, no, there definitely will be. It's going to be a good time. I know he's in the middle of his tour right now, and it seems like it's been a lot of fun. I've seen some videos and things from it, so it seems like it's a good time at his shows.
Hit us up, 901-360-8255. The Sissy's Log Cabin listener line if you want to go.
Yeah, no, it should be a lot of fun. I want to talk some mock drafts. Mock drafts coming out over the last couple of days as we were talking some NBA. Jeremy Wu over at ESPN put out his mock draft, his latest mock draft yesterday. He has the Grizzlies selecting Keaton Wagler at number 6, Hans Steinbeck at 16, and with that final pick, Tyler Tanner from Vanderbilt. And then our friend DeMichael Cole put together his own mock draft for the Grizzlies. He has the Grizzlies taking Keaton Wagler at number 6, Cameron Carr at number 16, and then Terrace Reed at number 32. So a couple mock drafts over the last couple of days with the Memphis Grizzlies.
With those, both of those mocks, mm-hmm. Tell me, was Acuff gone in both of them?
Well, so for DeMichael, he just put the Grizzlies pick, so I can't tell you about that. I can just tell you I can. His first paragraph, I don't know if this says it or not, I haven't read it. Sacramento Kings are projected to select 5th after losing De'Aaron Fox a little over a year ago. They addressed their point guard need by selecting Arkansas's Darius Acuff. So he has Darius Acuff going number 5, and then ESPN also has Darius Acuff going number 5 to Sacramento. So they agree on that. There'll be Darius Acuff 5 and then Keaton Wagler number 6. So
yeah, I'm fine with that if Acuff's gone.
Yeah.
But if Acuff's available, that's who I want. And I want a point guard, mm-hmm. unless you're 1, 2, or 3.
Sure.
If you're 1, 2, or 3, number 1, I want DeBanson.
Mm-hmm.
2, I want Boozer.
Okay.
And 3, Peterson.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it definitely changes if you get in that top 3. Obviously, those 3 that you just named, they've separated themselves as kind of that top group. But
is Love 4?
I would say I'd put Caleb Wilson 4. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm
sorry, from North Carolina?
Yeah, Caleb Wilson.
That's who I mean.
On.
That's who
yeah,
I mean.
No, you're
I'm
good.
Sorry.
I would put him 4, but I mean, I don't know if there would be a conversation there if you're, you know, if you're 4 and you really want Darius Acuff, you know, do you take him 4 and address that point guard need, or do you go with Caleb Wilson, who's more of kind of that forward, and you know, would be a really good player, I think, at the next level. So I mean, it feels like that top 3, maybe even top 4, is kind of its own separate category. But then once you get kind of 5 through 8 or 9, it feels like you've got 4 really good point guards there.
Run on the point guards.
Yeah, and it feels like we're going to get just that. You know, I would be fine with any of the 4. I think
point guard, bigger player, offense with those 3 picks. If you're not in the top 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you see a kind of a big guy or more of a forward with that second pick that you really like, then I think, yeah, go get him. But I really think the Grizzlies are in a spot right now where it's best available. So, you know, I think if you see a guard, you know, that's more of kind of a shooter, more of a 2 or 3 with that you know, second pick, I think you just got to go ahead and take him. And then, you know, who knows what they do with that third pick in the second round. I really love the idea of Terrace Reed, you know, bringing in a real rebounder that can kind of be that backup, you know, big man off the bench. I would really like that. And I know that's what DeMichael Cole has at number 32. Tyler Tanner, I think a good player. You know, do the Grizzlies really need to go out there and take another point guard with that second round pick? You know, a very small guy. I'd probably pass on Tanner. I'd certainly like Reed over Tanner if both those guys are available.
Ping pong ball night, getting here fast. Yep. Week from Sunday night.
Yeah, no, it's quick. You know, an afternoon lottery, and so
week from,
you know,
Sunday afternoon, getting here even quicker.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll know really soon where the Grizzlies will be picking. But so for you, the 4 point guards: Acuff, Wagler, Flemings, and Brown. How would you rank those 4?
That order,
okay,
right there.
Okay. Okay. I really don't care out of the four. I'd be happy with any of them. I just
went Tankathon and had the and simulated the lottery, Atlanta winning it, taking Darren Peterson.
Wow.
They this time next year they could really be improved and going deeper in playoffs. DeVance 2, Boozer 3, Caleb Wilson 4 to the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, I mean, you know, I think if the Grizzlies are there at 4, I think you probably take Caleb Wilson. It feels like those four are kind of separate from the rest. But with the point guards, I personally think I have kind of Fleming's Wagler battling it out at number one for me, and then Acuff behind him, behind them, and then Mikael Brown. Even though I really love Mikael Brown, but it's just kind of he's just the one that has to fall into that four spot, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the earliest Acuff would go would be 5 to someone.
Mm, yeah, it feels like those top four are pretty set. You know, whatever order it comes in, those top four names are going to come off the board. Unless you see teams, you know, a lot will be dictated on what happens at the combine with Peterson. You know, if his medicals come back and they are weird or something happens there, maybe you see him fall out of that top four. But you know, any mock draft you look at, it is in some order. AJ, Darren, Cam Boozer, and then Caleb Wilson at number four.
Hans Steinbeck going 13th in this simulated to Miami. Mm. The second pick for the Grizzlies, 16, Koa Pete, and then with that 32, and I've liked this, Malik Thomas.
Yeah, that would be really good, you know. And Malik is one of those guys that he has the option to return to Arkansas. So you know, obviously he's going to go through the combine and you know get some feedback from the scouts and then ultimately make his decision. So if he's there, if he stays in the draft, would love to see Malik Thomas as a Grizzlies pick. And yeah, Koa Pete, if Koa Pete's the pick with the second pick for the Grizzlies, I'd really like that. I think that's a guy that can be a really good NBA player.
Crevis, the Arizona big man, he's announced he's going back to college.
Yeah, he's going back to Arizona.
Well, they have him in the draft here at 27.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so and we've talked about that before with Tankathon. They're kind of slow to update their site and make the changes. You know, I feel like if you're in the business of draft, you know when it's the week everyone's deciding, I feel like you need to be on top of that. But I guess Tankathon they don't subscribe to that. Speaking of guys making their decision out of college to either stay in the draft or go back to college, did you see the decision by the top recruit last night making his decision to go to Kansas?
I did, and before I saw the whole performance, I read the ESPN.com story about the announcement.
Okay.
And look, everybody's out there trying to make their way in this, doing this, but I don't even remember who the author of the story was or if there was a byline on it. But it read very much old days, like, you know, player had to just here's the story. Mm-hmm. He got offered more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's
but it almost made like, you know, it was, well, he had really got down to, you know, which campus. It didn't say that, but it was written very much old way of deciding on your college choice when we know there's one way that most of them are deciding on where to go.
Oh, yeah, and it was very much shown last night with that decision, Tyron Stokes making the decision to pick Kansas over Kentucky, and it was wild. I mean, just watching it, and good for him. You know, he's making all this money. He's already got deals with you know, brands and different things like that. But he's got a Panini box. He's handing out kind of one-of-a-kind trading cards to all the guys at the desk.
Yeah, I'm sure Shaq could keep that close by.
Yeah, that's right. He pulls out a 2K you know, video game case that has him on the cover, like he's the kind of cover athlete on the video game in a Kansas jersey.
Here's the story, and you tell me. This is written very 1992, isn't it?
Okay.
And it's by Jeff Borzello and Paul Biancardi. I don't want to crack on them. I really don't. But here's the story. Tyron Stokes, the number one senior in the country and the consensus favorite to be the number one pick in the 2027 draft, will play for Kansas next season, he announced on Tuesday. Really benign announcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stokes chose the Jayhawks over Kentucky, announcing his decision on ESPN NBA tip-off before the start of Tuesday playoff games. He is ranked number one on ESPN's 2026 SC Next 100. Kansas and Kentucky waged an intense recruiting battle for Stokes' commitment, going back and forth over the last several months. The Wildcats seemed to be the clear leader in the fall, but when the early signing period came and went without a commitment from Stokes, Kansas surged and appeared to be the favorite as the college season progressed. There's more to it than that. Kansas didn't surge. They made a bigger offer.
Yeah. No, they definitely did. It was weird. I mean, I was the whole time watching it last night, I was thinking, if you showed this commitment to somebody that was in like a 10-year coma and just all of the, you know, talk about providing for his family, already providing for his family, it's like, this kid's in high school, he's got the sponsorships out there that he was using for his commitment. It was wild to watch.
Here's another line. It says, but Kansas was able to hold off the late push from Mark Pope's proud Kentucky program.
Yeah.
It wasn't any late push.
Yeah.
It was a big offer.
That's right. Yeah, no, the money certainly played a role, but it was,
how much?
It was big. I don't know how much he's ultimately going to make from Kansas, but they made a strong offer. I mean,
Kansas wasn't too burned by Darren Peterson.
No.
Dramatics work?
Certainly not. I mean, they might get more dramatics with Tyron Stokes, but I guess they're built for it and they've got the money for it. And you know, even people saying that, you know, he might not want to go to Kansas because they're an Adidas brand and he only likes Nike. So it was a weird recruitment process.
Will he be able to wear whatever he wants, or does he have to wear whatever?
I couldn't tell you. I have no
idea. Everybody else would wear.
I'm sure he's figured something. They figured out something where he can wear his Nike and Adidas would be fine by it. I have no idea.
If you're ready to see the country this summer on a big road trip, started at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch, they have all the great vehicles for that road trip. The new Traverse, the Tahoe, a Suburban with third row seating, new Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings, financing as low as 1.9%. Go big with a new HD Silverado and make no payment for 90 days. Your good credit deserves it, and you'll get it from Drew DePriest and his team at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Military first responders, you always get that instant extra $500 bonus and a heartfelt thank you. Nobody beats All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you can imagine is right there, ready to go to work for you and your hard-earned, hard-working business that you're in. And all the certified are pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes, all right there off Highway 78 at Tate Craft Goodman Road, and you're there in Olive Branch. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star. Get the most money back on it first thing tomorrow morning. Don't miss the work or vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet. For more information, you can always go to allstarautogroup.com.
Let's get to our final break of the day. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Obviously, crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
Crunch time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need catering? Moe's Taco Truck is always ready to cater for you. Just give Jenny Nash a call, 901-606-3172. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your taco crunch time emergencies. Well, what I learned today, I learned it over the last couple of hours, it's that George Pickens has officially signed his franchise tag. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with Bo Marchant. It was reported day one of the NFL draft, so last Thursday, that he was going to sign the franchise tag. And when that was reported early in the afternoon, it made a lot of people think that he would be traded later that night during the first round of the NFL draft. Well, nothing was really reported after that, that he didn't sign it. But then the next morning, it was reported that he still hasn't signed the franchise tag. And then more reporting that the Cowboys would not trade him. The draft came and went. Now George Pickens has officially signed his franchise tag. We know he's not happy with the franchise tag. He prefers a long-term contract. The Cowboys prefer to not trade him. So while he has signed the franchise tag, it's, I guess, a good thing for the Cowboys to have him sign that. But now with that being signed, they can officially trade him. So, you know, everything might look good. They might be saying the right things. But we'll see. Until I see him on the field week one with the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not confident he will be a Cowboys throughout the season.
Yeah, he's already been in a couple different places, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, that's right. It's we talked about, yeah, I mean, Bo knows him really well with his time in Pittsburgh. The off the field, the kind of wanting this and that, it can become much with him.
What I learned today, count me out on the Michael Jordan, LeBron James, greatest ever debate. Count me out. I care, but I don't care enough to weigh in and maybe have to run one down to build up the other one, and you almost always get down to that in GOAT, greatest ever, Mount Rushmore, all that. Just give me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and y'all can take all the arguments you want to TikTok and argue away at the Insta, all you want. Count me out.
That's a good way to do it. You know, just take the other all-time great and say, yeah, y'all have y'all's fun with the other two. What I could have done without, well, it is this Magic and Pistons series. It's been fun. To watch the Magic and the way that they've played this series, but with the Detroit Pistons for the last really year and year plus with what they did last year, turning it around after, you know, 3 years ago, that really rough start, the long losing streak, to turn into kind of this plucky underdog and a team that the entire league can kind of get behind and root for. Well, now things are changing as they're the number one seed, down 3-1. I really hate that Jalen Duren just hasn't stepped up to the task so far. You see any of these highlight shows or anybody talking NBA, when they talk Detroit, they talk Jalen Duren. I think ultimately, no matter what happens in this first round, whether it ends tonight, whether it ends in a couple days, whether Detroit turns around and comes back from this, I think this is still going to be good for Detroit to get this experience, see what it looks like to be on the losing end, because they've got a young core that they can build with, but the hope is that they can grow from this and this doesn't just ruin everything they've built over the last couple of years.
But you better grow fast. You better cash it in fast, because we know that window closes faster than you can ever believe that it will. What I could have done without, whenever that first coach that whines they're not in a 76-team NCAA tournament, if you're not in, you're in a bogus conference that nobody really gives a rip about, and you didn't win enough. I can hear Josh Pastner whining now. But he can moan and groan all he wants, and he can with the best of them. Do enough, and you'll be in.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of coaches, it's going to help them for when they're in this expanded field. But for the other coaches, oh boy, it is not going to mean anything good if you're missing a 76-team field. I kind of like what you said earlier about, hey, if you're in the SEC, if you miss it 3 years in a row, there's no excuse for that.
Don't ask any questions.
I mean, you've got to be one of the top 76
teams. Clean everything out.
I'm not opposed to that.
And no payout.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me too. Motown pulling hard for J.B. Bickerstaff and Jalen Duren and the Pistons against Orlando. As must win as it gets when you're facing elimination for a 60-win team.
Yeah, beam me to the glass game tonight. Rockets and Lakers. We'll see if the Lakers can close it out or if we see some fire behind this Rockets team.
Cardinals going for three straight right now in Pittsburgh against righty for the Pirates, Bubba Chandler.
Yeah.
He sounds like somebody from Lawrenceville, Georgia, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
Well, he is.
That's right.
Third-round pick in 2021, 21-9 Braves at home at Truist versus Scooble and the Tigers. Three Stanley Cup games tonight, and my Flyers can close out Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we talked about all the baseball action during the day. Still a lot coming later tonight. Three basketball games, three NHL games, so a lot to keep an eye on tonight. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.